You are now tuned into the AO Podcast Network.
Six, man. The GOAT once wore that number.
That's crazy.
We're going to start that way, by the way. The GOAT, six.
I'm not even mad at that.
They have a lot of ties.
But we're not Jordan fans. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
We like Jordan. We wear Jordan.
My friends that are watching out there.
We're not Jordan.
Some of them are Jordan fans.
We're not Jordan fans. We're into, I fuck with LeBron. We sell Jordan cards because they're worth money. But I fuck with LeBron.
Those Jordan card prices are crazy, too.
807.
OD.
40 minutes?
Yeah.
That dude, the mic's at 9:15.
All right. Yeah, we can knock it out.
I'm ready to go.
They got to go to the Heat game anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to the Heat.
We recording? We good?
Yeah, we're good.
Ready?
Yeah. Sad Man Jones. Go ahead. Young co-host Shaq, and then we got a special guest.
Very special guest.
How's it going, guys? Yeah. Proxy, George, you know, the man with many names, but...
Young Zeke. Who else?
This goes on and on.
Who else do you look like?
I like his name, though. It's just plain, simple, McGurk.
McGurk.
Earlier, he introduced himself to someone. Yeah, McGurk.
Yeah, bro.
They walked away like, shit, that's McGurk.
Yo, so we currently are in yesterday.
Which is the second half of Daily.
Beautiful vintage store. I know you guys probably got a nice background with these GoPros.
Correct.
But yeah, this is our lovely vintage store that we've been working on now since it's gonna be 2 years in July, I believe. Okay. If I'm wrong, don't kill me.
This is dope because, well, just to start off like this too, you guys just had Lil Uzi in the store, right?
Yeah, he did.
So that was like a little emergency.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
That's fire. How did that
was like really random. His manager hit me up earlier in the week. At first I felt like his manager just used his name to like come through and shop really late.
Yeah.
Because people be doing that. It's clean move, you know? Yeah. If you're someone's manager, then it's clean. I can't tell you you're not shopping for that.
Exactly, yeah.
So he came through. It was probably like 1 a.m. or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Stayed here, shopped. He was, I guess, with his girl or someone. And we really hit it off. He was like, damn, I fuck with this store. I'm going to come through. He told me he was going to bring Uzi. I was like, all right, dope. But again, so many people have come and said they're going to bring this person, that person.
Sure,
so we just, I take it. It comes in. I appreciate that gesture because you don't even have to tell me that.
Yeah.
And then, if you do bring them one day, cool. Yeah. I know next time when you say something, it's going to be solid.
Yeah. You've had a plethora, I got to say that word at least once in every
plethora
episode.
Every episode.
That or hyper-focus. So you've had a plethora of artists that actually have showed up. Artists, celebrities in general, from basketball players, football players, basketball, whatever. How do you like maintain the humbleness, essentially? You know what I mean? But it's like,
I guess it's easy because I don't know what people think out there, but my mom didn't have much to give me growing up, and she's a single mother, and I have a little sister, so I always know that I could go back to having absolutely nothing.
Correct.
That's real.
And in 2013 when I met Jonathan, I pretty much had nothing.
You can. That's perfect segue, bro. You can tell us the backstory.
So like, it's
we want to know your story and let the people know your story. You know how you got to this point now.
For sure. So you know, we didn't have much. I had like $1,000. He had $1,000.
It's crazy.
And he was like, "Bro, let's start an online sneaker business." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Fuck it." I didn't know him at all. We met up at a Starbucks, maybe a few months after I bought a shoe from him on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. And
that's
after
literally
that,
how y'all met.
Yeah, at most Air Max. One from 2006.
That's crazy.
I think I gave him like $250 for that shoe.
That should be the Daily shoe store.
By the time we started our online sneaker business, that shoe was worth like $700. And I came to him, I was like, "Yo, you remember this shoe? I just sold it for $600." He's like, "No way."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is crazy. So that was like the first taste of like a wild price, or like a shoe that had just went up exponentially. when it was just recently $200.
Correct.
But yeah, I didn't know him left from right. He didn't know me left from right. And we just decided to go all in. We opened up a store maybe like a year after we started the website in October 2014. And that was in the beautiful city of Hialeah, Florida, in case you guys don't know where it's at. You can go over there, get a pan con bistec or some cafecito. Mm-hmm. And you could shop for shoes at the store that used to be called Kicks Daily.
Man, it was small.
Very small.
I remember going there for the first time and seeing all the boxes in the main room.
Yeah.
Like all the boxes everything was like, you walk in and like, oh, you want a size 10? All right, the box is there and the shoe is right there.
And it looked like when you go into a Nike clearance store, where it's like the shoes right there. We weren't worried about people like running out with shit. But then a few years later, you know,
people running out with shit.
Start trying shit. It's like, ah, fuck.
So now we got to chase your ass.
Now it's like, now at our new location, we just have the magnet on the door. We don't even worry about it. But everything's, we have way more space now. Everything's much more organized.
Correct.
As far as like a consumer experience, like you have the shoes on one side, clothing on the other side, accessories dashed and sprinkled around the store, and then everything else is just pretty much the vibe, like the music, the people that work there, whether or not you fuck with us, if you've ever met us or not. I feel like we do a very good job at like making sure everyone leaves
customer
happy.
Service
hospitality is just amazing.
So every episode we have has a cadence, right? Mm-hmm. So it has some type of theme. So this episode specifically for you, I wanted it to be growth.
Okay.
Right, just because to see where you were, right, and to see where you have gone and are now, you know what I mean? It's dope, bro. You know what I mean?
Appreciate it, man.
To see that actual, like you said, the Hialeah store that was like a closet, to see that you have 1, 2, 3, or part of 3 locations now because you guys have a store next door.
Yeah, which now we don't. It's converted into Colors of Azalea. Shout out, Viv. Ed and Viv, they have their own store going on now,
okay.
Next store, and they sell custom jewelry, different items like that,
okay.
Mainly accessory based.
Okay.
But yeah, we were using that location for our consignment,
okay,
and then to also do the sports card stuff,
okay.
And we had an issue with putting a gate on that side,
yeah.
So we just felt like the inventory wasn't safe,
not safe.
And then it was like, we got to get rid of this,
okay. But I mean, still part of 2 big locations, but it's not easy opening up a store this large. If people don't know how big this is, how much square feet?
I think the vintage side is like 2,600 square feet,
okay.
and then that side over there is like 23.
So that's
huge. Yes.
It's huge, and to have.
And we came from like we started at like 500 square feet or 600 in the Hialeah store. Then we grew it out to like 1,500 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just ran out of space completely over there. And we were like, all right, we got to move this somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when we decided to head down to like Miami, where we're at now, more closer to the craziness, I guess. The traffic flow. Wynwood is like 5 minutes
walking distance.
And it's changed the business like
tremendously,
night and day, overnight.
You're originally from here, Miami?
Yeah, born and raised. I was born in Jackson and
Hospital.
Yeah, Jackson Hospital, and I was living in Honey Hill Trailer Park, Carroll City. Probably,
yeah,
like, yeah. Till I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Then I moved to Little Havana for like 2 years. Then I went back to Carroll City, and I was there till I was like 21.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm in Hialeah or Miami Lakes.
Yeah.
We used to live
next to each other. But you're on the better side than
Miami Lakes, all right? Not Hialeah.
It is Miami Lakes.
Shout out Hialeah. I love Hialeah. But yeah, that's just like a little joke with Hialeah and Miami Lakes. People be like, no, I live in Miami Lakes, not Hialeah. It's like,
it's really the same shit.
I created a company out of Hialeah. Like, what do you have? What does it matter?
That's a fact.
But yeah, people don't really fuck with Hialeah for whatever reason. But we got nothing against it.
What started like your passion for sneakers? Just because like I understand like now you have a sneaker store.
I want to say I guess it was my older stepbrother.
Yeah.
We were at the mall. He was chasing around cool gray 11s. And my stepdad was like, I'm not buying you that shoe.
So this is like
180 or something.
For people that don't know the time period.
2000. 2001.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So I was like 11.
First release.
Yeah. And then in 2002, he wanted... shoe was it? I want to say it was a pair of 17s that came out, the white and college blue ones. They came out like end of 2002, so going into 2003, it might be an 2003 shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following Christmas was when like I really wanted my first shoe in 2004, which was the black and red 13s.
Breads.
Yeah. And then after that, I bought with my own money, because of course my mom got me the Bread 13s.
Yeah.
I was 14 years old. And the first shoe I ever bought, I was 15 years old, and I bought the all black Jordan 10 that came out in 2005. Yeah.
With the white
Jumpman.
Then
they came
out
with the white and red, and I was like, I'm so broke. I spent all my money on the black there. Fuck. And then they just came out with all these dope ass spring colors.
Bro,
like the
linens,
ice blue, the green ones, the purple ones.
That
I
was
like,
the silver box
I'm
the red
so Jumpman. Broke.
Yes.
Yeah.
From 85 to 05.
So that was like what started it off for me. After that, I got into ISS, Nike Talk. I fell into that dark hole. Fucking Forums. Scammers.
I was the ISS master.
Fucking,
he used to be a moderator on ISS.
Oh, live. Right. So you might not want to talk to some of the fellas on that side.
Yeah.
Because they were doing all type of shit on there.
I have no comment on that. If anybody knows me.
McGurk is for the people.
I have no comment on that one.
Anyway.
No, but that's super dope. But that also relates to like how you said why you it's easy for you to be humble. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So it's coming from where I'm from, and I guess the fact that like no one taught me about business. Mm-hmm. It's just me and Skrill just kind of like
learned
along our way, did what we did, and even to this day, like when I have conversations with other people, I'm like, why don't you think this way?
Yeah.
And then it's like, yo, a lot of people don't think that way. That's why there are not a lot of business owners out there. That's why I'm now trying to learn stocks and all these other things that, like, our parents were not going to... If you're a minority, your parents aren't going to teach you these things, you know?
So you can't really blame, like you were saying, individuals for being ignorant, right? So when you say, why do people don't think like me? I can't blame you for not thinking like me if you don't really know anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Everything has to be, like, taught or learned by yourself or your somebody else,
that's
right?
Where a lot of people's ceilings exist.
100%.
Yeah. You know?
Bro, you...
Even for myself, like... I understand when I'm at a ceiling somewhere, and then I kind of, instead of giving up, like with stocks, that February, Biden just fucked everything up, I guess, with the market.
Yeah.
Not that I care about who's president or not, but
that's
he
just
did.
Facts.
That's just facts.
And, you know, I took like 3 weeks off, and I was like, yo, I need to, like, what's going on here? I got to readjust to this market.
But tell people how you were, I guess we can kind of like segue into the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
For one, you own a business. Mm-hmm. For two, you do business on the side with stocks, trading cards, investing, things of that nature. How did the pandemic affect not only your, I guess this is more than a one-part question. How did it affect, first of all, daily, right? How did it affect yesterday? How did it affect that business in general?
So when the pandemic first hit, I was like, are people going to still... like waste their money on sneakers and clothes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So we didn't know. And then I want to say April 2020 was probably our biggest month online. Mm-hmm. And that we did a YouTube video with George Keel.
Yeah.
Which he with Kioski Media.
He used to be with Nice Kicks.
Yeah, he used to do it with Nice Kicks, but I think his new company is Kioski. Something like that. Sorry, George. You know, I love you. And he posted that video. We paid him. It was like a crazy marketing package, the whole thing. We got pictures. He came and did like an interview style video, high quality.
I remember.
All the good, everything, the whole nine. And after that, he posted it. That same night, we got maybe like 10, 11K in sales.
Damn.
In like 4 hours that the video was posted, and we're like, oh, fuck.
Before that, were you thinking like, yo, we may have to close down?
Yo, of course. That's why I was like, are people still going to be buying?
Yeah.
You know, and this was like first month. We're like, holy shit. This has been our best online month. This is better than Christmas. This is better than tax season. This has been better than like, and we're like, okay, it's just a video. It's just a video.
Yeah. Following month.
May, June, July, everything, you know, Corona gets worse. People start dying left and right.
Yeah.
The restrictions, the lockdown got
like,
more serious.
It's gonna hurt
we're
us
like,
again.
Fuck, okay. So now George starts taking his money. I'm like, okay, what can I buy that has nothing to do with shoes or daily or clothes?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I decided to learn about stocks. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, even if I don't make money, at least by the time Corona's over and this lockdown is over, I could at least go back into the real world with some type of skill that I could make a few bucks.
Absolutely
correct.
And I wasn't looking to get rich or make this my 9 to 5. I just wanted to make like 50 bucks a day on the market.
Yeah.
And then I was making more than that, and I was like, fuck, this is dope. Why didn't I learn about stocks before? Correct. Although I've had friends like my boy Michael Grillo that would tell me about stocks, and I was just like, nah, man, I'm not into that. I don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. And that was ignorance, you know? Like, you could always just open a book, or even better, go on YouTube.com. You could learn almost anything.
It's being scared of the unknown, essentially.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't have money before to risk. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, yo, I understand what you could risk $500. You could risk $100. I see kids turning $100 to 200 to then 3, 4 to then 100K. So it the brick by brick mentality, that shit works.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know, once that doubt kicked in, because you're a business owner and you don't know what's happening with Corona, I was like, all right, let me buy an old school BMW. I feel like these things are hot right now. For whatever reason, all these rappers and shit want one. Let me just buy one now and let me see what happens next year. It took 2 months before that car had already went up exponentially in value. And I was like, fuck, okay, I'm lit.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was like, do I want to start buying cars? But I don't really like the whole process of buying cars. You know, you got to register them. You need to put the shit somewhere. Like, I can't just, you can't
especially in Miami, it's tough.
You can't buy a car, hide it from your wife.
Yeah.
You get me? Unless you're just like, you're fucking Bruce Wayne or something. You got like a double fleet. Life. You got like a little garage fleet of cars.
Yeah.
Can't really do that. And then there's a lot of paperwork that goes along with it. So I didn't really fuck with it.
Yeah.
But I fuck with the fact that I could find the car before the general like consensus of people think it's cool, and then resell it.
You could find it before that spike.
Exactly. Yeah. So I bought like two E30 BMWs. I sold one. I kept the other one. Just the other day, one sold for like $55K.
Yeah.
And I paid nowhere near that for mine. And God mine damn. Is like more rare. It's nicer looking. In my opinion, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I know it's more rare for sure because of the color, but I feel like mine is in a cleaner condition.
Yeah.
But that one had lower miles, so it's kind of fucky.
Yeah.
But like the way I look at it is like, okay, I could get 40 for mine.
Yeah.
One
Bro,
day.
On the
you know?
Low end, yeah. You, look-
you legit, the pandemic turned like us, it turned you into a monster, right? A flipper, a hustler.
I wasn't doing it with the intention of like, shit, I gotta pay my bills. I was just doing it as
you
far
learn
as
trades
like,
though. You learn skills.
Yeah,
it forced just, you essentially.
I was thinking more so like, okay, Corona's hitting. I'm stuck at the crib, so I can't sell a shoe to somebody.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I can't pull up to the store and sell a shoe to somebody.
Correct.
Although we were coming here and shipping everything from the website, it's different than like if you're in the store and
interactions.
Asking, hey, what's hot?
Yeah.
And I go, yo, look, we got this, we got this. And then boom, you buy something. Although like we don't sell shit to people.
Yeah.
And
people know what they want coming.
At least once a week, I tell people like, yo, I don't want to sell you something that then you want to bring back because all sales are final.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're going to be stuck with the item or you're going to lose money. And then they realize after that, it's like, okay, this guy's not trying to sell me something. And I'll even tell the employees, like, yo, don't feel pressured to sell something to somebody.
Yeah.
Let them pick what they want. And if we don't have what they want, show them something similar. And then that's it. Because then I feel like when I was a consumer and then I felt like you were selling me something, I'm then not interested.
100%. Just knowing we both come from that retail background where we had to do that, right? I worked at Foot Locker. That's how I met Flock. Right. Mm-hmm. I worked at Foot Locker. And then, of course, I worked at Nike, too. So we have numbers that we have to push. You know what I mean? Certain amount of sales.
Yeah, and that's what I hate about sales, you know,
in a retail space with corporations. You
exactly,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you have to push numbers in order to you kind of take away the personable aspect of dealing with people and you just see a number.
Correct.
Yeah. It's more so how could I get this dollar off of this individual rather than building the relationship.
Exactly.
And you guys build relationships.
Bro, there's
not dollars.
There's
but equating to that, you build dollars.
Exactly. Like there's customers out there. When I think about it, I'm like, yo, I've seen you shopping at the store since 2014.
Yeah.
And it's like some of these people I've seen go through puberty. Some of these dudes I've seen go from like 4 feet to 7. Overnight, it's like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I've seen kids go from playing high school sports to then being drafted.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild. You get to see so many different customers growing alongside you as you're growing. And it's like, yo, every day I'm coming to the store and you don't realize, like, everything that you see.
Yeah.
But you definitely do realize it after, like, 5, 6 years. You're like, fuck, I'm still seeing this
Absolutely.
Same guy
Correct.
From, like, 5 years ago. So, to me, it's more like you said, like, we'd rather... It's not that we want to build a relationship, but we're here to be open and honest with you. And if you want to kick it, cool. There might be times where, like today, someone pulls up and it's like, yo, everybody has to go.
Yeah.
But that's very rare. Mm-hmm. Like, that's only happened twice. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, like, we like to feel like we're here for you guys to come, fuck with, chill, spend a few hours. If it's raining out there, don't rush. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you buy anything either. Yeah. If you do, cool. If you don't, whatever. Apparently, like, everybody has $1,000 to spend today. So it's like, you know, if you don't spend money, someone else will.
Yeah.
And then I'm fine with that.
This is like your neighborhood sneaker store, in a sense. Like, your neighborhood, like, it feels homey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you come in.
That's, I think, the biggest aspect. Like, I've shopped at all these other stores that are out here.
Absolutely.
The bigger ones, you know, like, yeah. I've shopped at Round 2. I've shopped at Fly Club. I haven't shopped at stores like Token or Backdoor Miami, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, those smaller ones. There's other ones that I'm probably missing or forgetting about on the spot. But I've never gone to those stores because I feel like they've just popped up and they just want to make, obviously, we all want to make money.
Yeah.
But it's different, you know, like, correct. There are stores out there that I just fuck with organically, as opposed to, like, I feel like you're trying to make me fuck with your store, you know?
Yeah.
And being that, like, I run the same type of business that they're running, I kind of could spot out certain things, like, yo, I never see good prices. Or if I do see a good price, I feel like it's such a good price and you never do this, that this might not be true.
Right.
But, you know, for me, I don't care if it's true. I know every business, everyone has their own niche, you know? There's people that absolutely. Have customers climbing up buildings and shit yeah. to get free shoes. That's dope as fuck. there's people that are giving away shoes. There's people that give you money. There's people that give away clothes. Mm-hmm. Everyone does something different. That's what I love about the all space. Of these stores. Like, yeah. yeah, we're in competition, sure. Although, you know, you'll never hear me even privately talking to, bro, I talk to my mom about everything. I'll never talk to her about the next fucking store. Like, she's never heard of the next fucking store.
Yeah.
And like, she'll see other stores like Sneak Attack. And she's like, oh, did you see that they closed down? And I'll just look at her like, are you surprised?
Yeah.
You know, like, these guys are venture capitalists. So once shit goes wrong, they close down and they leave with everyone's money.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, like, you've been coming to this store for almost 10 years and you see the same three dudes.
Bro,
that actually own the store, running the store, and it's like they're there every time you go.
Correct. It's crazy.
You know, as we grow and stuff, that will change, I'm sure. But
you're gonna,
it's
still
been almost 10 years and you've seen that.
Your plan essentially before the pandemic, you wanted to bring a daily from Miami to Orlando.
Yeah.
I remember you were talking about that. Mm-hmm. And I know you were saying specifically, he was like, bro, somebody has to be up there to run the store, because I know personally that you want to keep that homey feeling there,
yeah.
right? You want to keep that presence of when you come in, I want you to feel like, all right, not for one, we're not selling you. For two, you can stay as long as you want, buy something. Let's grow this relationship. Is at the end of the day, even if you don't buy nothing today, you're going to tell somebody else about your experience.
Exactly.
They are going to come and buy something.
Exactly. And like, people fuck with the whole home team.
Yeah,
vibe.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
after like 2-3 years or something, if you're a consumer and you've been shopping at all these stores, even if you don't believe that we're home team, after fucking with us for 1 year, 1 month,
correct.
3 days, like, you'll quickly realize, like, yo, all those dudes that work in there are from Miami. All those dudes are like,
no corporate heads.
Yo, we're all fucking nerds, really. Like, we're into our own shit. Like,
yeah,
and when I say nerds, I mean, like, we're all focused on
hyper focused
3 to 5 things. Like,
yeah.
And they're pretty much the same across all boards. You know, I'll venture out to like random shit, but it's only because of my curiosity, you know? And like, when it comes to business, bro, I'll throw 10K into something if it will potentially bring me back 2.
And that's
a lot of people don't want to do that.
Correct.
Because they might lose the bread.
Absolutely.
Like,
and I was going to say, that's a perfect segue into the investment realm that we're continuing down, right? So you said that, of course, you invested in not only property, but invested in cars, right? So like BMWs, invested, of course, into this, what we're actually into right now. But you've also invested into basketball cards.
Yeah.
Mainly basketball
big
cards.
Big shout out to sports cards. For the property investment, I'm doing that this year.
Okay.
So
I remember you were telling me about that.
The last time that we spoke,
I was like,
yo, 2021, I need to buy something.
Yeah.
You know, property wise. And it's crazy as this may sound, I might invest into like a mobile trailer park mm-hmm. with my cousin.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And the returns on that are crazy. Yeah. It's just people don't want to associate themselves with
a trailer park. Absolutely. Yeah.
I might never step foot on that shit though. Yeah, like, yeah. So it's like, yo, I'm putting the money down. I might never see it.
Yeah.
And I'll get a return from it. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do now.
Gotcha.
You know, and then while I'm doing that, it like doesn't take any time from this. Mm-hmm. So I can go to Orlando if I need to open another store. Yeah. Now we're looking at Atlanta too.
That's fire.
Because that city, we feel like we have a homie out there. Shout out Good Times. And he's doing really well. Mm-hmm. Sneaker Mo. Big mm-hmm. shout out to Sneaker Mo. And Skrill went out there like a weekend or two ago and they were chopping it up. And he was like, yo, Atlanta's dope. There's a lot of people here, a lot of traffic, a lot of flow. And then it's like, you've seen the city of Atlanta just slowly creeping up.
It's here.
It's dope. Yeah, bro.
Atlanta. It's here, bro.
Like, I feel like it goes perfect with sneakers and clothes and
culture.
So Orlando, Atlanta, me personally, I don't care where. We go to Dallas, sexy. I'll be happy. The whole thing is just growing the business.
Yeah.
That's the main thing for me.
Correct.
So what are you guys thinking about as far as like your next move? Like, are you planning on moving soon? Like, it's not moving location, but adding another location. That's a better
term. We were just talking about this like a few weeks ago where it's like we have to get certain things in order. That way we could move on to the next stage.
Gotcha.
Which is obviously scaling the business.
Okay.
And for us, it's a little different because we don't want to take money from people. Like, we don't want investors. We don't want someone else coming in.
Yeah, you want capital ventures.
And we've missed out on a lot of money by thinking that way and wanting to operate our business that way. But at the end of the day, it's like, yo, we want this all to be ours.
Correct. It's not about the money at the end of the day.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You got to love what you do and love the people that you're around, essentially.
We're just having a conversation. Like, it takes longer for certain people if you want to do it the way you fucking want instead of having to kiss ass and...
Exactly. You know, and
it's like in pee-pee.
I used to tell my mom that all the time. Yeah. Like, yo, you don't understand. Like, oh, how come you don't go get this type of job? Like, an office job or whatever when I was a kid. Bro. And I was like, yo, mom, you don't understand. Like, it's either someone already knows the nephews, nieces, uncles, mm-hmm. somebody's important.
Correct.
Or it's, like, all about who you know. And I don't suck up to people to get shit from them.
Correct.
That's one thing that, like, I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Oh, I got homies that work at, like, stores that could hold me down with all type of crazy shoes. And I don't hit them up.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, I don't want you to think, oh, I just...
I'm using you for this,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's,
and then it's convenient.
When I do, it's like, I'll give them money for looking out every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that they could have just flipped the item themselves. Bro. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science. If you work at a store, you instead of selling me the shoe, you can just flip it yourself.
Yeah.
You could sell it to me, which I could be your uncle. And then now your uncle has your shoe. You come get it later. You sell it.
Yeah. And you took that... took that leap of faith. And didn't do the regular 9-to-5 like you said that your mom essentially wanted you to do. And I mean, it's proven that you made the right decision even through the pandemic. You know what I mean? Now you have multiple sources of income, not only with your business, but you're moving your monetary gains in other departments that it's like, I didn't even know what the fuck I was doing initially. Right. So now you're like, damn, now I'm making money all types of ways. You know what I mean? From basketball cards to cards to now property this year. It's like, bro, you low key, when you see it, you're an inspiration to people that have no idea where or how to start.
Mm-hmm. And that's like another topic that's just been looming over my mind for the last few months where it's like. I've had a lot of conversations about money with my close friends.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it might take them 6 months. It might take them a year. Some of them haven't even started. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the change in a lot of them, you know, where it's like, yo, all these kids that work here at the shop, like, yo, buy shoes on StockX and sell them in the store.
Yeah.
Like one of your perks as being an employee here is we don't charge you consignment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you sell a shoe here for $300, the whole amount is yours.
Mm-hmm. It's love.
Other stores, other business owners like, yo, you're wilding. How do you not charge them? It's mm-hmm. like, we're making money from all this other shit that's selling. Yeah. At the end of the day, like, I want to take care of the guys that work here other than giving them a fucking paycheck.
Correct. Words of the day endorsing the hustle. That's yes. exactly what
and
you
it's
guys
like,
are doing.
Yo, some of them, after I've had that conversation with them, they now have 10, 15 pairs of shoes here that they're trying to resell. Whenever it does sell, they realize like, yo, I need to go buy another one. That was so easy. It might sell in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You could buy a shoe for 200, put it in here for three, and in 10 minutes it sold.
Yeah.
It's $100.
Yeah.
That's one shoe. If you sell two shoes in a day, you're making more.
And I think a lot of people are afraid to do that because a lot of people like try to hide the game from younger generations. And I think that's just fear of them becoming bigger than you. But when you're confident in yourself and what you do, you're going to absolutely show them and teach them how to do it.
If you're too busy playing defense 24/7, when do you score?
Yeah.
You get me? Like you're sitting there trying to block everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, although you might have caught a bucket or two and you're in the position you're in, it's like, how do you keep scoring though?
Yeah.
Because people could fall off. Look at Jeremy Lin.
Happens every day.
That's a fact.
You get me? So it's like, how do you continue that? And I feel like if you enlighten other people, that's good karma that's coming your way. Just by letting them know, like, yo, look, you have this right under your nose. How come you're not taking advantage of it?
Yeah.
Then it's like, fuck, damn, you're right. I should be taking advantage of that.
How do you feel about, like, since we all grew up in that era of camping out, getting kicks, was kind of normalized, how do you feel about like the reseller in this day and age?
I feel like
the average reseller doesn't really like appreciate or know about the
I'm a reseller. The only difference is I have four walls around me.
Yeah,
that's the only difference. So the way I look at it is, when I was let's say 15 years old, I couldn't make even 10, 15, 20,000 a year off selling shoes.
Yes.
It wasn't, and I'm not saying it's not possible. People were doing it.
Yes.
But bro, if you were into ISS back in the day, a shoe would come out. It would be, maybe retail wasn't that crazy. So like 160 was the retail for those black and silver Jordan retros.
Mm-hmm.
They'll resell for the most 200.
Yeah, it wasn't.
There was not 5, 6, 7 million people the day of release waiting to buy that shoe.
Yeah.
You get me? Like, obviously, those numbers are completely exaggerated.
Supply and demand is completely
changed. But you know
what
I mean. Like, in today's world, on a release date, you might have 1,000 people in your city that want that shoe. When I was 15 years old and a shoe came out like that all-black 10, I was walking in there at 11:15, like, fuck, I woke up late. I'm not going to get the shoe.
It's a fact.
And I still got the shoe.
Still got the shoe.
So it's kind of like, even if I did get the shoe and you live in Daytona, let's say, and you didn't get that release, you're not going to give me $400 for that shoe.
Yeah.
In today's world, you can go to certain sneaker stores in Miami, buy a shoe early for $300, sell it for $550. Like, yo, those margins are crazy.
It's crazy.
They add up.
Yeah.
And and a lot of people don't believe that you can do that, but you can.
Yeah.
You can very well do that. So there's like I said earlier, different businesses, they have different ways and different avenues of making money. So there's a store in Miami Gardens where this guy buys all these shoes early and he sells them early. And if you live in that area and you don't know anything left and right about sneakers,
you're gonna pay
and
for
where
it.
To go and get them, you go into that store and you're like, yo, homie has everything. I need them. But you're paying for that.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
You're paying a crazy price. You don't know if you're paying a crazy price, I should say. Not that you're paying a crazy price. You don't know if you're paying a crazy price.
Before it even happens.
Exactly.
But other people that are into the business know that you're getting away with these prices because of your location.
Absolutely.
You get what I'm saying? So it's kind of like every business has their own thing.
Location.
Yeah, very important.
So back then, I couldn't do what these resellers are doing. Today, I tell all these kids, bro, if your mom's going to give you even $1,000, you could spend that on StockX. You could buy like baby shoes on StockX for like $80, $90 a pop. Take them to a local consignment store. If that local consignment store actually sells product consistently, you are going to have an average of 5 to 10 baby shoes a week that are going to sell just off of, oh, hey, your total is $129.15. Oh, what size are these right here? Because they're at the checkout desk and they see those little shoes right there in front of them. What size are these? Everyone always knows a fucking baby. Yeah. And everybody wants their babies
fresh. Babies are very popular.
Everyone's seen the meme. How do you have on these $500 shoes your baby has on some Gap shit?
Yeah.
Where it's like, yo, babies shouldn't be wearing $200 shoes.
Yeah. Nah.
But in today's world,
I got to send you some baby shoes, man. My daughter, she likes the light up shit. She don't want the black cement threes, the aquas.
If they're DS, they sell, bro. Consign them. Yeah. They sell. And that's at the point that we're at now.
So what's your... just to like kind of almost come to a closing, because I know you're going to a Heat game.
We're putting up late.
Heat versus Bulls. So, you know, we don't want to cut it short, but we kind of want to, you know what I mean? What's your top five favorite shoes? You being in the sneaker game for so long, what's your top five favorite shoes?
Bro, but this is the thing though, man.
Does it change all the time?
It's not that it changes. It's just I don't do that stuff anymore. Like, yeah? I don't have, like, when I was in middle school and in high school, I would have the list of all the shoes I needed.
Yeah.
I would have the top five. I would have the no, hell no, these are
these are my grails.
Yeah. Like, yo, in today's world, I couldn't pick a top five, to be honest. I could tell you my top current, like, the shoes that I wear all the time now.
Yeah. What's in your rotation, essentially?
For sure. I go for cozy now.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, for me, I love the 550 New Balance that we were talking about earlier. Yeah, right. I'm wearing them now. I've been wearing them nonstop for, like, the last 2 weeks. That's up there.
Yeah.
But a year ago, I didn't give a fuck about the 550.
Yeah.
You get me? So, Jordan 1s, I've loved those shoes since I was in middle school when I was called weird for liking Jordan 1s when there were so many other better models. So any Jordan 1 is always going to be on my top five.
Yeah.
If I have to pick a specific one, I really like the Union Jordan 1.
Union
fire. I bought that shoe as soon as it came out. You know we don't win anything on sneakers. So
nah, hell no.
You just go on StockX, pay the price, and
but that's an investment
later,
because it shot up
two,
in price.
2-3 months later, anything you buy on StockX will be more expensive. As long as you're not buying shit with your eyes closed, like, bro, you could buy anything hype. It's going to go up in a month or two. So I get everything out the way early. Don't have to worry about that. Other people, they try to, get the lowest price. Like, fuck that. Just buy it the day it comes out.
Yeah.
Because 6 weeks later, it's not going to be the same price.
Yeah.
And rarely do shoes backtrack in price.
Yeah.
So they would have to get re-retroed or something.
Exactly.
So Air Jordan 1s for sure. I love Air Jordan 4s.
Oh, don't die. Don't choke.
I almost died there. I need some water. But I really do love Air Jordan 4s. I realized that when the Bred 4s came out, the white cements. Then they did, like, the fours, and they did cool grays, and I was like, damn, I really like this model.
Yeah.
And then back in the day, you know, 06, after the Jordan 10s came out, they came out with, like, every Jordan 4.
Correct. The Miss Blue, LS, all that,
Exactly. Thunders.
Another shoe that's in my top five for sure is the Joe Freshgood New Balance.
Fire
shoe. I love that shoe.
Fire shoe.
I bought that shoe as soon as it came out, $500.
Are you not talking about the Valentine's Day one, right?
The one that he did in Chicago All-Star weekend. It's like pink, red, baby blue.
Fire, bro.
I bought those as soon as they came out. Oh, you're crazy. You pay $500. Yo, that shoe is like $1,500.
OD. Yeah.
You cannot find that shoe. Used, worn, brand new, nothing. Yeah. You can know Joe himself probably can't even get that shoe.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got to pay up. That's up there in my top four. And then... Jordan 1 Lowe's, specifically Lowe's.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know I fuck with Jordan 1 Lowe's, bro.
And they don't
people
have to
were
be,
laughing at me for wearing Jordan 1 Lowe's, bro.
They don't have to be the Travis Scott Lowe's either.
Thank you.
It could be any low.
Thank you.
Any low top one. I don't care about the whole, you know how some of them are like OG cut and the different swoosh. Like, yo, as long as it's a cutaway I fuck with.
I'll buy it.
I had Jordan 1 Low Fats back in the day.
Yeah,
when they came out the black cement trim.
Yes.
I was looking for those like crazy. And you couldn't just pull up to any store and buy them.
No.
You had to go to like Foot Actions Only or whatever little account got that shit.
Or like the Dunk Jordan 1s.
So like that, I think I picked like four shoes, but those are pretty much it. Oh, Vomero's. That would be the fifth shoe.
Yeah. That's
the Vomero 5, I think, or whatever the last one was that they did the A Cold Wall, and then they did the regular black.
With the big box in the back.
Exactly. I bought the regular ones because I didn't want that box.
Big box
shit,
in the back,
and I really don't know what A Cold Wall is, so I didn't care for that.
Yeah.
But when I saw the regular model
it's
that
fire.
Looked just the same, I was like, yeah, let me get this for $50 at
exactly.
Burlington. And now that shoe's $300.
Yeah, it's crazy. Black
and
white.
It's insane, man. Like, everything goes up in price. Doesn't matter what it is.
And then, just to segue, you know, I know you guys got to go.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your last piece, like, of advice to give to someone who, because, you know, obviously a lot of kids in our culture, they'd be like, oh, I want to open a sneaker store. I want to open a clothing store. What would be your piece of advice to those people listening to sign off on that note?
to be super cliche and like ass, just do it.
Yeah.
Like, yo, honestly, just do it. And when you do it, don't bag hold, meaning what we were talking about earlier. If you have something that sells for 30K and you paid $1,000 for it, sell it for fucking 20, 25. Yeah. Make your money ASAP because it might take 4 months for that to sell for 30K.
Correct.
And 4 months ago, I could have put 30K into off-white Nike Dunks that are now probably they went probably from like 500 to like 700. That's like a nice $200 move.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm holding this $30,000 item that one day I'm going to get 30K for.
Yeah.
You could have flipped that 20 to past 30
absolutely
2 weeks later.
Correct.
You get me? So just do it and sell low, buy low, sell low.
Buy low, sell low.
So that what that means is just quick turnaround.
Okay, I see you know what you mean.
Buy something for 100, sell it for 130.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to sell profit it for 180.
Profit.
Know?
Yep.
Shout out Flacco. Profit is profit. Yeah, profit we used to troll profit. Him for that because sometimes, you know, you buy something, you make only $5 on it. After it's sat on you for like 3 months, you're like, yo, I should have just took the $50 profit that was there day one.
Yeah.
Profit is profit. That shit. Move on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just do it and do it consistently. So just do it consistently and make sure that you get a quick turnaround on your investments, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of cards you probably sold or a lot of shoes I probably sold, like my rust pink ones that I sold for $700, $800 after eBay fees. Like, yo, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Yes. Get over that. Anything you sell today, tomorrow will be more expensive.
That's a fact.
Get that out of your head because once you start holding shit, it's all cool in the beginning, but you cannot hold 100 pairs of shoes if you still live at home or you only make X amount of money.
Make your money,
get out, make more money. Wake up the next day.
Don't try to time the market.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't try to buy at the lowest point. Just try to buy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let me execute as opposed to like the perfect execution.
Correct.
You know? So to end off, what's next for Proxy? What's next for George?
I'm going to visit my cousin in North Florida in like 2 weeks for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a few properties that they need investors on. So I told him I have X amount of bread. I need to like
move
it into property.
Yeah.
It for me is just like I just told you guys, just do it. I've been struggling to just do it when it comes to property and stuff.
Gotcha.
Because I don't want to. I have the fear of like fucking up when it comes to that because that's not like buying a shoe.
Correct.
Can't just buy a shoe. Oh damn, I fucked up. Mm-hmm. Sell it. Take the little loss. And
that's
kick
this
it.
Is
like,
your life.
There's a lot
you could
that comes
lose
with it. Yeah.
A lot of money when it comes to that. So I figured, okay, let me do my first deal with my cousin who he's already done like 10 deals.
Yeah.
And it's like he's been doing it for a year for sure. He's like he's making good bread. Him and his wife are killing it up there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, you can get a property that makes you money and it costs $90,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
crazy.
Yo, in Miami you gotta spend four. You gotta spend five.
Yeah.
On a multi unit, you gotta spend six, seven for something in a decent area.
Yeah.
So like I said, we're looking at different things. The mobile park, they were talking to me about that investment. And I know I want to do something along those lines. So I'm hoping in the next month I could get that started where it's like, okay, we found the property. Now we just got to ink in the deal and then give them the bread and go from there. So that's pretty much what's next for me. I really want to invest into some form of property, you know, whether it's commercial, whether it's multi, whether it's commercial and a residential. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just trying to get my foot in the door with that. Start meeting people in that network.
Snowball.
You know, you got to know general contractors. Those people are going to be like your best friends when it comes to fixing stuff. So I'm looking at like things like that. Like, yo, who can I trust? Who should I want on my team? And I know I could trust my cousin and his wife. So we're going to start there.
There you go.
Perfect. So where can they find Daily on social media? Where can they find you on social media?
Daily MIA, that's going to be at Daily MIA. And for yesterday, it's very simple. It's at Yesterday MIA. So Daily MIA, Yesterday MIA, both located at 2852 Northwest 7th Avenue, Miami, Florida, 33127.
And what's the website?
www.dailymia.com. Open 24/7. I think it's so dumb when people say a website is open 24/7, but I like trolling with it. So.
Yeah. So what's your personal though? You didn't tell people your personal.
My personal Instagram is at Proximo. That's gonna be PR0XIMO.
Well, he's humble, so follow Daily and Yesterday first, please.
Of course. I'm no one to follow. I post every now and then. Usually I post sports-related shit.
But recently. You show love to other people.
Yeah, of course, you know. I'm not a big, like, liker of photos.
Yeah.
But if I see you and I know you just posted something and I know you're working on it, I'm like, yo, I saw that. You know. But I don't spend a lot of time liking and stuff like that.
Yeah. But... All right, guys.
Hey, man. Pleasure having you, man.
Appreciate you guys hitting me up to do this. If you guys want to do like a part two or some shit.
Oh, absolutely.
What's happening again? We'll see where you at for what you spoke about now. You know,
don't be afraid to reach out.
The growth is going to continue.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Next time, we could do one where like I'll bring like my top five cards.
We could start bringing cards.
We could do a pack break. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Or for cards, I could do a top five because you know, I'm actually like it's weird, man. Like, with shoes, like I'm over it already.
Yeah, you're not invested anymore.
Been there, done that. It's hard for me to get like googly eyed over a shoe or something. Like there's not much they could do to wow me anymore.
Yeah.
And I would go deep into cards, but then we would be in for another hour.
Exactly. So. But with the cards, it's like it's new, it's fresh. It's like, fuck, you can make all this money off cardboard.
Exactly.
So check us out next time, guys.
Yeah, all right. And appreciate like that, you guys. We gone, my brother.